Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Trib colleague Joe Rutter, the Steelers beat writer for the Tribune Review, and he's was part of the group interview of Steelers beat writers who had an interview with Steelers president Art Rooney II, and really kind of wanted to be able to pick Joe's brain about what the conversation was like, because we've seen a lot of the outtakes, a lot of the quotes or sound bites. But, you know, here's a guy who was actually in on the interview and can kind of give us a little idea about the ebb and flow that was involved there. So let's go to Joe Rutter from the Trib and hear what he has to say. Joe, thanks so much for joining us. How are you tonight?
Good, good. How you doing?
Doing great, thanks. I know you're, like me, enjoying some time off when available, so hope you're enjoying that. But I know yesterday you had a busy, very busy day, not only with the interview with Art Rooney II, but pounding out a bunch of stories on all the different topics there. The one that really kind of captured my attention was probably not the one that drew the biggest headline, but Art Rooney II mentioned that it made it sound like it was a very much in the Steelers' plans to extend Ben Roethlisberger. But he did not really go, was not nearly as emphatic about extending Mike Tomlin. Didn't make it sound like the Steelers wouldn't, but the quote that I'm reading here said, it's a bridge the Steelers will cross when they come to it. You know, that didn't sound like there was any sense of urgency, but it also wasn't going to be rewarded for a season where the Steelers finished 9-6-1 and missed the playoffs for the first time in 5 years. What did you take from that? Did you take that as a vote of confidence, no confidence, or just kind of like, you know what, right now let's worry about the problems we have on this team and we'll get to the coaching staff when we need to. After we have the coaching staff filled out. I mean, clearly the Steelers aren't firing Mike Tomlin, or they would have already done so. So that doesn't seem, his job is not in jeopardy. But in terms of a contract extension, it sounds like they may allow him to sweat it out a little bit.
I don't think he'll sweat it out whatsoever. I think that this is just normal course of business. The Steelers deal with certain things at certain times of the year. At this time of the year, they get ready for the new league season. And, why their salary cap and how they're going to manage that, that's when they're going to address Ben Roethlisberger's contract situation. Once they get all the old business done, as they go into like they call future business, when they go into training camp, that's when I think they'll address the players that, usually have a year or two left that they want to extend, like Sean Davis is a candidate this year. And then the coach, 2 years later, that's when Mike Tomlin will get his contract extension. Usually that comes in training camp. I believe it came somewhere around early to mid-August 2 years ago when they did it. So, I don't think it's a pressing issue at all. They just handle things, certain things at certain times of the calendar year. That's why you really don't see them, with the exception of Antonio Brown a couple years ago, they don't really extend players aside from the quarterback until they have 1 year left. And they usually don't do that until training camp. Kevin Colbert, his contract situation usually gets done when Mike Tomlin does, and that's usually in training camp. Ben Roethlisberger, on the other hand, to manage the salary cap, that's something that should be done by March 13th.
The interesting thing to me is, and this they may be completely unrelated, but because they're in the same division and because they, that one kept the other out of the playoffs, and it could have been vice versa, that the Baltimore Ravens allowed John Harbaugh, to go into the final 2 years of his contract without extending him. And there were rumors at midseason that he may be on the verge of getting fired. They came out late in the season and said that they have every intention of extending him. Could you see the Steelers doing the same thing, or do you think that situation right there would be a cautionary tale of why not to? Because now Harbaugh has a lot of leverage with them, is that here's a guy who rallied his team and can go into the season and possibly say, well, this is going to be my final year with the franchise, and I'll be a free agent.
Yeah, I don't think the Steelers will let it get to that, unless they come to a point where they decide that, okay, Mike Tomlin's been here long enough, let's start thinking about, our next course of action. I don't know when this policy of every 2 years started, but I'm guessing it was back in the Bill Cowher days. Chuck Knoll that never dealt that way. From what I understand, he didn't really even have a contract. He just kind of coached until they came to an agreement that he wouldn't coach anymore. I don't see it ever coming to a situation like that. But then again, look what happened with Mike Munchak as an assistant coach. They let his contract play out, and they ended up losing him.
Joe, rather than ask you a lot of questions, I want to kind of give us some insight into what that interview was like. First of all, how long was it, and what was the question that was really the one that everybody wanted to ask, or the one that became the focal point of the interview in terms of let's get this out of the way first, or let's address kind of the elephant in the room, so to speak?
Well, the Antonio Brown stuff, but let me set it up with how it usually works here. There were seven of us, I believe, six outside reporters, and then Bob Labriola of Steelers.com. We're in the room. Art Rooney comes in. We know ahead of time we're going to get 20 to 25 minutes with him. That parameter is set there. Art comes in, gives a quick little statement on what he thinks about the team, thought about the season, what he's looking forward for next year. Then we start with the questions. Now, there are seven of us, so, not one person's going to get to ask probably 10 questions. And you try to give everybody a chance to ask what they want to ask. Now, no, you have that time frame there. You don't want to center on one or two specific things. You want to cover as much ground as you possibly can because you've only got 25 minutes. You don't have an hour to get really in-depth and just pepper him with repeated questions about different things, about the same thing. So Antonio Brown did command a good bit of the interview portion, but it got on the Le'Veon Bell, it got on the Bud Dupree, it got on the minority hirings, it got on to a wide range of topics, so everybody could get a chance to ask their questions in. But, nothing really did focus in on one exact thing because of the time constraints. But I would say out of all of that, Antonio Brown's future did get out of every topic there was the most discussed item.
Yes, and Rooney did not make it sound very positive that Brown could return, although he did not close the door on that, most likely for negotiating purposes. He doesn't want to paint the Steelers into a corner in terms of what type of trades they have to make, knowing that they have to trade him or that they desire to trade him. It's more that they may be open for business. What was the tone like, though? What was, in terms of, did you get a feeling or a vibe that the Steelers will be parting ways with Antonio Brown more so than that it's a possibility?
I think it is, and he didn't come out and say it, but you could just tell, it just from facial expressions, things like that, that he seems confused and not sure why Antonio Brown hasn't responded to his calls, why he hasn't gotten back to him, why he hasn't gotten his side of the story, and he almost seems resigned to, look, this guy doesn't want to communicate with us, we're going to move on from him. He's had his chance. He's running out of time here. If he wants to tell us, he better do it soon. And he also said, look, I don't expect him. The way things are going, I don't expect anything to change. So I think they're getting ready to move on from him. And at some point here, they're going to start getting a strategy together on what they expect to get in terms of compensation and who they think their viable trade partners can be.
Yeah, I've heard it described as a potential bonanza that the Steelers could be able to have a lot of, command a lot in return for Antonio Brown because there are teams that need that type of a playmaker. When you think of the playmakers the Steelers have had and now have lost, and we may be getting a little bit ahead of ourselves because none of them are officially an ex-Steeler, but over the past two seasons, they've lost Ryan Shazier, their inside linebacker, to injury, Le'Veon Bell to the contract squabble over the franchise tag, and now potentially Antonio Brown to, in this sense, insubordination and kind of a trade demand, or at least pointing the Steelers in position where they may feel they have no choice but to trade him. To see the Steelers go from a team that just 2 years ago played for the AFC Championship game now to one that could lose three guys who were Pro Bowl or All-Pro caliber players is kind of amazing. Where do they go from here?
Well, I think where they go from here is, they make their decision on Antonio Brown, and then they try to address it, getting somebody probably in free agency and then also in the draft. I mean, I don't think you're going to get a Antonio Brown type of player back in free agency, but if you can get a dependable starting type of player or a number three option, then you go with that, and then you try to add more depth in the draft. But, you also, it depends on what kind of draft picks you get. They've got to solidify the defense, inside linebacker, potentially outside linebacker, and cornerback are issues that are going to need to be addressed too. So, you know, they've got to figure out a lot of things and, you know, try to get as much compensation or return as they can for Antonio Brown.
One of the things that I find interesting is that the Steelers, and now some of these are through injury, but the Steelers' first, second, and third round picks from last year, from 2017, we go back 2 years, that they've all been selected to the Pro Bowl. T.J. Watt, Juju Smith-Schuster, and James Conner are all Pro Bowl picks. Now, I can't say that the Steelers will necessarily have their first-round picks from 2018 be Pro Bowl players next year, but James Washington would be a guy you would hope that would emerge into a bigger role. That could potentially help deal with the number two or number three receiver situation, as you just mentioned. When you look at wide receiver, cornerback, and inside linebackers is three positions that have to be addressed either through free agency or through the draft and with high draft picks. Which one to you is the greatest priority for the Steelers in your view? Not necessarily in theirs, but in your view, in terms of what do the Steelers need to address first if you were going to use a high first round draft pick, either number 20 or something you would acquire higher than that?
Well, right now it's a toss-up for me. 1 and 1A would be inside linebacker or cornerback. You know, those could be running neck and neck. I would put wide receiver right behind that, and then outside linebacker right just a notch below that on needs for this team.
You mentioned Bud Dupree. You think he's back with the Steelers next season?
I do. I think he'll be back. I think they're going to try to get him to lower that cap figure from $9.2 million, try to negotiate with them to get something longer. But, you know, and I think if Bud realizes his value, he'd go ahead and maybe make that kind of deal, because he's not going to get that kind of money out there on the open market if they make him a free agent. So I think he'd be, smart enough to maybe take a lesser deal with the Steelers, add a couple years on, and lower that number to $4 or $5 million. But, yeah, I think he'll be back, and I think, you know, for all the ups and downs he had, I think that, you know, with T.J. Watt on the other side, you could probably live with what Bud Dupree has, you know, given you and some of the mistakes he's made. But if not, then you've got to really go out, and then you've really got to make that a bigger priority as well.
Yeah, that's why I asked, because all of a sudden outside linebacker becomes a priority if you get rid of Dupree, and you could potentially lose the Steelers could lose Anthony Ciccolo to free agency as well, and he was considered one of the best bargains in the league at his salary. So there's a lot going on with the Steelers. Follow Joe Rutter at Trib Joe Rutter on Twitter. He's kind enough to join us here. Thanks a lot, Joe. Appreciate having you on. Joe Rutter, the Steelers beat writer for the Tribune Review. It's the Paul Zeiss Show with Kevin Gorman, 93.7 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.